Blog Talk Radio.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. We call this show They That Fear the Lord. And I just read to you from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And what we'll be doing this evening, as we do every Tuesday night, is we'll be thinking about the Lord. We'll be thinking upon his name. And that's what we'll be doing. And we'll be talking to each other while we do it. And that's exactly what Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 was talking about. Then they that feared the Lord, that's us, spake often one to another, that's every time we get together. And what does the Bible say that the Lord will do? He hearkened, he listened, he heard it. And he wrote a book of remembrance for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And that's what we're here to do tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on tonight's show, that everything may be done decently and in order. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We've had long days. Some of us have been up before the crack of dawn, and we've been very busy today, God. But we just ask you, Lord, to help us to redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16 says that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. And, Lord, we want to spend the next 90 minutes. We want to go up to the heavenly counter, and we want to hand you these 90 minutes, God, and ask you to take these 90 minutes from us, and we would like to redeem it for something from you tonight, God. And Chris just said, what a joy to lift up the name of the Lord. And it is a joy, Father God, to lift up your name. Your word says in John chapter 3 that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that when you're lifted up, Jesus, your word says that you'll draw all men, all women, all believers, all children who think upon your name and look for your return, Lord. You'll draw us all to yourself. And so meet with us tonight, Heavenly Father. Meet with us, Holy Spirit. Meet with us, Lord Jesus, our forever high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, and our coming king, Thank you so much for this time together, Lord, and just please bless us tonight. Donna says, yes, Lord, let us feel your presence, and thank you, Jesus. And we have a lot to pray about tonight, a lot to look at from Scripture, and just meet with us, Father God, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I came across a very interesting rendition of one of my favorite hymns, one of my favorite gospel songs called I'll Fly Away. And I, 99% of you will instantly recognize the voice of the person who was singing this version. But I was just really struck by just the simplicity of this version of I'll Fly Away. And it really just spoke to my heart. And I think it will speak to yours as well. And you know what? One day soon, we are going to fly away. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. And he is a great God. And you know what? More than just being a great God, he's a good God. And he's good to us. And he takes care of us. And he gives us gifts. It's a good God that we serve, so that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And one day, he's going to come get us, and we're going to fly away.
Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to that land where joy will never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Isn't that awesome that one day we're going to fly away, not because we feel that we are and not because we think that we are, because God's word says that we will. In Revelation 4, verse 1, we read this, and after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And John says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. Are you looking for that day, dear brother and sister? Are you looking expectantly for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just someday, but maybe today, maybe tonight, maybe before this show is finished, the Lord will shout, come up hither, and we will be taken up. We will be taken up and we'll be taken. This world, the Bible says, is not our home. We're just passing through. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited tonight because we are 2 days closer to the rapture than we were last time that we met on Sunday. And Donna just said, I love those words, come up hither. And you know, you only find that in the King James Bible. And there is just something about the King James Bible that has power and authority, and it's real, and it just has weight to it. It has weight to it. And I just love to read scripture from the King James Bible. It just speaks to me, and to me, I believe it is the preserved word of God himself. Now, we have these shows 3 times a week because we want to meet together. We want to praise the Lord. We want to pray and ask him for things. We want to thank him for things that he's given to us. We want to remind him to come and get us like he promised. But we also want our souls to be right with him. And we want our walk and our relationship to be right with him. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, then he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then what does the Bible say that he'll do? If we confess our sins, he will cleanse us from our sins because he is faithful and he is just and he is righteous. And the Bible says that Jesus is forever our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for cleansing us tonight and washing us clean. And we thank you, Lord, for being our high priest, because we don't want a king. We don't need a king right now. The Bible says that Jesus is not in the office of king. He is in the office of high priest. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need tonight. We don't need a king over us tonight. We need a high priest to make intercession for us to the Father. That's what we need, and that's what Jesus Christ is doing right now, right here, right now. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is making intercession for us to the Father, and that he is, the book of Hebrews says that he is forever our high priest, and he talks about this amazing figure of Melchizedek. And you know what? We're going to look a little bit at Melchizedek tonight, just because Melchizedek is an amazing, amazing, amazing character. But before we do, I'm going to play another song, because it is well with my soul this evening, and it is my fervent hope and prayer that it is well with your soul this evening. Do you know why it's well with my soul this evening? It's well with my soul because the Lord Jesus Christ purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. It is well with my soul this evening because I have fellowship with the Father. It is well with my soul this evening because Ephesians chapter 1 says that after I have believed, I am sealed unto the day of redemption, and that the Holy Spirit has put the down payment on my soul, and I am signed, I am sealed, and soon to be delivered to his heavenly kingdom. Is that you tonight? I really hope that it is. We have our ups and downs as believers. We have our trials. We have our tribulations. But ultimately, if you have been saved by the Lamb, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you are sealed, the Bible says, sealed unto the day of redemption. John chapter 10 says, all that the Father has given me, none have I lost. And Jesus says that we are safe in his hands. We are safe in the Father's hands. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And that's what I am resting in tonight. I am not resting in my feelings. I am not resting in anything other than the finished work of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I have a relationship with God the Father today. And he loves me, and he washes me clean, and he forgives me. And not just for me only, but for all those who call upon his name. There is healing, there is cleansing, there is restoration. And so if you have your Bibles, please open them this evening. We have a lot to cover and just a whole bunch of different neat things that we're going to talk about tonight. And we have so many prayer needs. We will be praying later on in the show. But please turn to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 5 at a few things pertaining to who this Melchizedek person is, and more importantly than that, why Jesus is connected with Melchizedek and how he is functioning for us right now. I think it's important that we know these things, because if you were on trial and you had a lawyer, wouldn't you want to know about your lawyer's credentials? Wouldn't you want to know what your lawyer was doing for you at any one given moment? Or would you rather just say, I'm not really concerned. Whatever he does, he does. If it works out, fine. If it doesn't work out, that's fine. No, I have to believe that you're like me, and you want to know what your lawyer is doing for you, and you want to know how the case is coming along, and you want to know what the outcome is going to be. That's why we have a lawyer in the first place, because our lawyer speaks on our behalf for us in a court of law. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, we read this: for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who, the high priest, can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And then we said all that to say this: so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son. That's what God is saying to the Son. God the Father says, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And he saith also in another place — now this is God talking about Jesus — in Hebrews 5:6, he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, can you think of any place in the Bible where it talks about Jesus learning obedience through suffering? I think you can. All through the Gospels, it talks about Jesus going to the cross, and he suffered not for our, not for his sins, but for our sins. Not for his sake, but for our sake. And the Bible says that Jesus, he learned obedience to the things that he suffered. And in Hebrews 5:9, it says this, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Hebrews 5:10 says, "Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek," and as Rue just posted in the room, Psalm 110:4, "The Lord had sworn and not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, I ask you, why does the book of Hebrews spend so much time talking about Jesus as a high priest? Because that is the capacity in which Jesus is going to forever function for you and I. He is going to function forever as a high priest, as the book of Hebrews said that he is going to. Now, the day is going to come, absolutely, where Jesus is going to return to this earth to get the kingdom that was promised to him by his Father, and he is going to obtain that kingdom that was foreordained for him to have. But until that day comes, the Bible says that because we believe in Jesus Christ, that he is our high priest, and he's forever making intercession for us. Now, we on this program, the NTEB radio family of programs, on the Sunday night show, Tuesday night show, and Friday night show, you hear us talking all the time about eternal security. People who do not understand eternal security, they mockingly call it once saved, always saved, and they think it is a heretical doctrine. But one of the reasons why you can never lose your salvation, because you are not keeping yourself saved. Let me repeat that. One of the reasons why you can never lose your salvation is because it is not you that is keeping yourself saved. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he is forever our high priest. So when you screw up in the flesh and when I screw up in the flesh, the Bible says that we go to 1 John 1:9 and various other verses where the Bible says that if we repent and confess and get right, God washes us clean and he forgets about the sin, right? That's what the Bible says. But the reason why that these sins are never held against our salvation is because A, Ephesians chapter 1 says that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And Rue, could you post that verse from Ephesians chapter 1 about being sealed unto the day of redemption? And not only are we sealed, the Bible says that Jesus is functioning as our high priest, making intercession for us absolutely as often as we need it. If it's 5 times a day, if it's 50 times a day, if it's 500 times a day, Jesus Christ never stops making intercession for us. Now, when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all right, and it talks about the end of the world after Jesus has received his kingdom, the Bible says he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem in a literal, visible, physical, earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. This is at the end of the tribulation. The Bible says in Revelation 19 that he returns with all his saints, with the armies of heaven on white horses, right? That's when we come back with him. That's how we know that there cannot be a post-tribulation rapture, because Jesus doesn't take us out at the end of the tribulation. He comes back with us at the end of the tribulation. And the Bible says that at that time, at the end of the tribulation, is fought the Battle of Armageddon, and Satan is bound for 1,000 years in chains. And for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ, with his redeemed, which is us, rules and reigns in a literal earthly kingdom from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, now I need to help my friend Rue here. Bear with me 1 second. Now, Rue, it's funny. Now, don't feel bad. Do you know, because when I first started looking at this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, it took my eyes, for some reason, glossed over it every single time, and I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it, so don't, yeah, you found it. Good. I had the same problem that you have. I mean, I knew that it was in chapter 1, and yet every time I went to chapter 1, for some reason, my eyes just missed it. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." That's why we say that the Bible teaches eternal security, because it teaches eternal security. And if you've been sealed by Jesus Christ, there is nothing that you can do to have yourself unsealed. You can't sin your way out. You can't jump out. You can't abdicate your position. The Bible says that you have complete and total freedom, complete and total free will to either accept his salvation or reject his salvation. But after you have accepted his salvation and you have become saved, you are sealed. And God, because God knows, the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And he knows that if he didn't hold us tight, that we would fall. And that's why he seals us, so we can't fall. And that's just one of the million things that we have to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for, is the fact that he has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, in starting in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 15, 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, whom he shall have put down, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he shall put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under his feet." And now this is the verse that I want you to really focus on. 1 Corinthians 15:28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." So we read in 1 Corinthians 15:28 that at the end of everything, after the end of the battle of Armageddon, after the end of the 1,000-year reign, after the end of the battle of Gog and Magog, after the end of the world and the earth being destroyed by fire and new heavens and new earth being created, Jesus then he puts everything under God's feet. And everything that God gave to Jesus, Jesus gives back to him. And he is forever the Son, with the nail holes in his hands and the nail holes in his feet and the spear wound in his left side. And for all eternity, he will be the risen Jesus Christ. And we will forever see in his hands, in his, the nail prints in his hands, we will forever see his great, 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 great sacrifice that he obtained, that he performed on the cross. And we will truly say for all eternity, how great thou art.
Thank you.
We serve a good God. We serve a great God. The Bible says that I know in part and I prophesy in part. But the Apostle Paul said that he looked forward to the day when he would know full well, that he would know even as he was known. And that he says that now we look through a glass darkly, but then we look face to face. And I'm looking forward very much to looking into the eyes of the one who saved me, into the eyes of our lovely Lord, who sacrificed God's own blood. The blood that was shed on the cross was not Joseph's blood, it was not Mary's blood, but the Bible said it was God's own blood from heaven itself, for that is the only blood that could ever completely take away our sins. And that's why in the Old Testament, when the Jews would sacrifice, they were safe after they sacrificed, but they were not saved, because the Bible says that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. It is only the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, shedding God's blood, that can have any type of effectual working at all. Now, let's continue what our little Bible study about the person of Jesus Christ as our high priest. And in Hebrews chapter 6, we read this. In Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, what is the hope that is set before us? The hope that is set before us is Jesus Christ. But here in the book of Hebrews, Paul is making his case. He is making his case to the Jewish people that he wrote the book of Hebrews to, and he is trying to show them why it is so important that they have a heavenly high priest, because they would understand their need for a high priest, because in the Old Testament, the high priest made the sacrifice on the altar in the temple. In Hebrews 6:19, well, the last part of Hebrews 6:18, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, it starts to tell us about who this Melchizedek is. In verse 1 of Hebrews 7, it says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him, the Bible says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the description of who Melchizedek is. Hebrews 7:2 says that he is called the king of Salem, and that's where we get the word Jerusalem from. Salem means peace. Jerusalem means city of peace. So that Melchizedek is the king of Salem, which is king of peace. Hebrews 7:3 says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but being made like unto the Son of God, abideth a high priest continually. Now, let me ask you a question. If Hebrews chapter 7 says that whoever Melchizedek is, he is the king of peace, he has no father, he has no mother, he has no descent, he has no begin. Now, when the Bible says that he has no descent, that means he just always was. He didn't come from anywhere. He just always was. So the Bible says that Melchizedek is without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Now, I don't know about you, but this is what I call a proof text in the Bible, Hebrews 7, 2 and 3, and it's up on the screen. You can read it for yourself. Melchizedek is the king of peace with no father, no mother, no descent. He didn't begin, he can't end, and he's made like to the Son of God. For my money, I believe that Paul is talking about Jesus Christ, that Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is compared to Melchizedek, because Melchizedek met Abraham and he blessed Abraham and he physically appeared to him. And it was not the time for the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Jesus appeared to Abraham as the high priest that he would forever be after he went to the cross. And so that's who Melchizedek is. He is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He is the King of Peace. He is the King of Salem. No mother, no father, no beginning of days, no end of days, and he is made like unto the Son of God. Now, if you go down to Hebrews 7, verse 24, it says, but this man, Jesus, because he has continueth forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Now, look at 25. Wherefore he, that's Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And that's why we say that Jesus Christ is functioning now not as our king, though spiritually he will always be our king. He has always been our king and always will be our king. But practically and functionally right now, he is not functioning as king. He is functioning as our high priest. And because of that, Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So I hope that blessed you tonight. I hope you got something out of that. But that is just what the Bible says about Melchizedek and who he is and the functions that he performed. And it's also what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ functioning and operating as our high priest at this very moment and will for all eternity. Wherefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So now, before we go to prayer, the Bible says that Jesus is forever making intercession for us. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. But I've been playing this next song a lot before prayer lately, and it really helps to get my mind focused on prayer. And we're inviting the Holy Spirit of God to come and meet with us as we pray. Your mercy.
come and fill us, Holy Spirit, come.
And that's our prayer this evening, isn't it? That we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to meet with us. We ask the Holy Spirit to come and be with us. And as we go to the Lord in prayer right now, you know what's funny? Is right now, the vast majority of this country is riveted on the debates. And while I find the debates interesting and entertaining, they have no eternal value of any kind. Politics has no eternal value of any kind. And the things that you and I are talking about here tonight will last for all eternity. Millions of years after people have forgotten who the presidential candidate was in 2012, millions of years after, the things that we are talking about tonight and we are praying about tonight and the Lord God who we are praising and honoring tonight, that will last and ring for all eternity. That's what the Bible says. And I'm just so glad that you have decided to spend your night with us tonight. We do have a slightly smaller group of people tonight, but we don't do this show for numbers. We do this show, the Bible says, whosoever will, whosoever, come and drink in water, come and drink of the water of life freely. And I made the conscious decision tonight to come do the show, and you have as well. And you know what? I'm very glad to be with you guys. And I'm very glad to be praising the Lord that saved me and saved you if you're saved this evening. So let's go before the Lord in prayer, and let's let a few prayers and petitions and praises be made known unto our God. And we've had lots of prayer requests in the chat room. It's funny. I have a friend of mine on Facebook, and they wrote to me that they were watching the debate, and she just said, I had to stop watching, exclamation point, please. I'm desperately trying to think of scriptures to hang on to now. Please give us some words of wisdom. And I don't have any words of wisdom, but I do have the Bible, and I posted the link for the prayer meeting, and I invited her to come and meet with us, because that's what we have tonight. If you're looking to me for words of wisdom, you're not going to find any unless I am telling you of the words of the Lord, which is why I do this show. And the Lord has plenty to say, and he's all wisdom. And so, Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask for your blessing, that our prayers and petitions may be acceptable unto you. And, Lord, we want to brag on you a little bit tonight, too. Because you're a good God. And you know, Lord, I've had a busy day, like we've all had. Forgive me for yawning, Lord, but in the inner man and in the inner woman, revive us, God. Just revive us. Now, the first thing that I'd like to pray about tonight is I have a teenage daughter. Her name is Kelsey, and she means the world to me. And she has been going through some, you know, high school has become very stressful. It was stressful when you and I were in high school, how many ever years ago, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years ago, whatever was high school for you. It was definitely stressful then, but it's become insanely stressful now. And with all this social media, like when I went to high school, if I got picked on or somebody said something nasty to me or whatever the case may be, when I physically left the building, I didn't hear from anybody until the next day. But with social media now, it's like it never stops. It never stops. And our teenagers and our young people are under tremendous, tremendous stress. And we do have, looks like a troll in the chat room. Been a while since we've had one. So Rabbi Yakov, you can say goodnight now, and we don't need your nonsense with the filth that you're trying to tell our people here. So you just have a good night. But our young people are under amazing, amazing, amazing stress. Teenage suicide rate is increasing dramatically, and more our teenagers, even the ones who are saved, feel overwhelmed by their situations and overwhelmed by their circumstances. And yes, Rue just said that they can also be mean to each other. They can, you know, a lot of these suicides that we read about are teenagers using social media to berate and belittle other teenagers. And it is just, it's just out of control. So please join me in praying right now for our young people, that we as parents would have wisdom to know when to allow them to engage in social media and when to pull the plug, to know when to let them have their cell phone and to when to take this cell phone away for a season or two. God, we come before you, and all of us tonight, all of us, Katie and Kisabel and Louise and Penny and Raylene and Dawn and Dave and Chris and Behar and Dee and Dean, everybody, Shelley, Rue, myself. We pray for our young people. Now, we may not all be parents, but we all know teenagers. We all know young people. And Father God, spare them. Keep them safe from social media. You know, I almost have to pray against social media. And please keep our teenagers safe and set a hedge of protection about them and give us wisdom as parents and as friends to know how to shield them from the things that they need to be shielded from. There used to be a time when we allowed children to be children, and we protected them from things, and we shielded them from things. But something's gone wrong with our society. Something's gone wrong with our thinking, Lord. And we don't shield our young people anymore. Raylene just says, we got teens here. I got teens here as well. And Ray, Chris, Dave, Katie, Rue, Isabel, Louise, Penny, we have to pray for our young people. And Lord, keep them safe and show us how to be better stewards of the children that you've given us. And just pray for the young people, Lord. Let us reach them with the gospel. And just show us how to do a better job of protecting our children. And keep them safe from the enemy, Lord, because we know that suicide is not an unforgivable sin. And I rebuke the idea, Lord, that if anyone says that suicide is unforgivable, Lord, your word says that's not true. All sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. And Lord, but we don't want to see our young people commit suicide. We don't want to see them leave this world before that you take them out, God. So please, Lord, keep our young people safe. And I'll just be selfish, and I just pray for my Kelsey. Please keep her safe, Lord. And there's many forces at work which attack and aggravate, but give her peace and perfect soundness in mind, Lord. Your word says that you shall keep them in perfect peace whose mind and heart are stayed on you, God. And Lord, show me, and my son Calvin is also a teenager. Keep him safe, Lord, too, and protect him and all the teenagers out there, Father God. Let our Christian teenagers be a light for the unchristian teenagers. Let them not be pulled down by darkness, but let them cast the light into darkness, Lord. And I just pray for a revival and an outbreak of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to happen among our teenagers, God, please. And Lord, I pray, make me a better father. And make us all better fathers and better mothers and better aunts and better uncles. And in whatever position of stewardship that we find ourselves in. Now, I may be speaking to some people tonight who don't have children, but they may be an aunt or an uncle. Or they may be really, really good friends with somebody who has a teenage child. And we can be an influence on a teenager, whether they're our child, whether they're someone else's child, whether it's a niece or a nephew, or just the child of a close friend. Grandmas and grandpas, too, with the grandchildren, absolutely. But, Lord, those of us who are stewards of children, make us better grandparents and grandmothers, better fathers and better mothers. And show us, Lord, how to treat our children better and to protect them, God, and to keep them safe. And I just lift up, Lord, all the caregivers and all the aunts and the uncles and the grandparents and the parents and all the teenagers, Lord. And please, Lord, give us wisdom, give us discernment, and keep us safe, Father God, and put a hedge of protection about all of us, Father God. We need that. We need that so very much, and we ask this in Jesus' name. I would like to also pray for a number of prayer requests in the NTEB Prayer Warriors group. And can I just say one thing about the NTEB Prayer Warriors group? Now, it's a closed group, and that means that unless you're a member, you can't even read the things that are posted there. And I have the group closed because I want the people who are members to have the freedom and the liberty to speak as openly as they would like to speak without fear of it being blasted all over Facebook. So the group is closed, and we've only allowed in Sister Raylene is an admin on the prayer page as well. And Ray, you do a great job. I couldn't do half this stuff without you. Thank you so much, dear sister. And it's my honor to praise you publicly, Ray, for the work that you do for Now the End Begins. I just want to say thank you. But we only let in the people that we feel. We've kept it purposely small. Right now, there are 220 members of the prayer group, as opposed to nearly 34,000 of the main Now the End Begins page. But when it comes to the prayer page, we don't want high numbers. What we want is prayer warriors. And you know what? That's what we have. And you guys are awesome. We have had this prayer warriors group up over, I don't even know when we started it, but it's got to be around a year now. And you guys pray for each other. You lift each other up. You ask for prayer for yourself. And I have come to depend on the prayer warrior group. And I can't imagine, you know, not having this room. And Raylene just said, we have seen so many miracles and wondrous answers to prayer. We have. And the Lord is just doing amazing things there. So I would like to pray now. I am on the prayer warrior page, and I'm just going to randomly, but with purpose, read some of the prayer requests that caught my eye today. Louise said, just got word that my mom went into the hospital. It may be a mini stroke. They are doing an MRI today. Please lift her up. She'll be 88 in December. Heavenly Father, we pray for Louise's mom. And, Lord, we don't know. I don't see an update here. But we just pray, Lord, that if it was a stroke, that you would instantly be doing a work of healing. And if Louise's mom is not saved, please save her soul, Lord. But whether she is saved or not saved, Lord, we just lift her, we commend her to you and ask you, Lord, to see her through this trial, see her through this struggle, and give her grace and courage and give her a testimony, God, of your goodness as she goes through what she's going through. Donna says, please pray for our military and us military moms. It's so very tough to stay in peace when you have a child that you know is going through things but can't really speak about it. Oh, boy, that's a tough one, too. Heavenly Father, so many of us have children or friends or neighbors who are serving in the U.S. military. And, Lord, we hate what the liberal administration has done to our military. But Lord, we are so grateful and so thankful for the brave and wonderful and beautiful male and female soldiers that you have given us in the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Army, the Coast Guard, the National Guard, the Navy SEALs, all the special ops programs, and every branch of the United States military. Keep our kids safe, Father God, and give the military parents peace, Lord. Give them peace. And we just pray that all the Christian military soldiers that are out there, Lord, we just pray that they would, whatever their fate on the battlefield may be, and we pray you keep them safe. But we know that thousands of them have died already, and tens of thousands have come back maimed and hurt. But Lord, let them be a shining light to the lost soldiers, that many might be saved and won to Christ, Lord, while they are serving on the battlefield. Please help them, God. Please just help them, Father God. Please, and give the parents much comfort. We pray for Glenda And I don't know if Glenda is in the room tonight. Let me take a look. No, I do not see her tonight. But our dear sister Glenda says they have found the source of her breathing problems. The doctor says that she has a blocked artery, and next week she is going in for stent placement. Lord, please be with Glenda and give the doctors wisdom. Give them a steady hand when applying those stents, and help them, Lord, that may be good and it may go well and the operation may be smooth and quick, and that her heart would be opened back up and the breathing problems would be taken away. And please, Lord, bring people into Glenda's life to give her ideas on nutrition for things that she can eat and drink which would help her heart. And I'm not talking about red wine, but I am talking about red grapes and CoQ10 and olive oil and oatmeal and omega-3 and 6 and 9 oils and avocado. All these things are good for the heart. So please be with Glenda and give her a healing, Lord, and let the operation go well. We ask it, Lord. And Raylene says that she's getting the kids ready for bed. There is prayer time with them before. We pray for all the children in Raylene's household, and she's the proud grandmother. I think she may even be a great-grandmother. But there are so many, and I've seen pictures of these kids, and they're adorable kids, and they look like they're great kids. So as they get ready for their bedtime tonight, Lord, just give them a special blessing. Let them know that you love them and tuck them in yourself, Lord, and keep them safe. And we ask for a blessing to be on Raylene's family and Dawn's family. Please just give them all blessing. And we have prayed for, Dawn's father and uncle, and both of them came through with flying colors, with serious heart problems. So we thank you, Lord, for the answer to prayer there. Now, Linda in Australia, she asked for prayer, and she's sleeping right now. But please, someone let her know that we prayed for her. She said, urgent prayer needed for my son Joel being rushed to the hospital for an emergency appendectomy. That was earlier. Actually, that was Sunday, but we find that that he came through the operation with flying colors, and that he'll be going home tomorrow, and maybe even today because they're ahead of us. But we pray, Lord, that you would keep him safe and keep the incisions clean and don't let him get a staph infection. And thank you for healing him. Lord, many people die of appendicitis. I almost died of appendicitis, and I had to have the same emergency surgery that Linda's son Joel had to have. And I thank you, Lord, for getting me through, and I thank you, Lord, for getting Joel through. And just please continue to help him in Jesus' name. We also have to pray for our dear sister Stacy, who I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Stacy is in Israel right now, and she lost her wallet and her ID. So, Lord, please be with Stacy. If she needs money, please have her reach out so that we know if we can help her or not. And please help her get her ID back. That's almost just as important as the money. And, Lord, she is in your land now. And she is a believer in your son, Jesus Christ. Keep her safe in Israel and give her what she needs, Lord. Please help her. And give her what she needs, Father God. And if she needs help from us, please have her reach out to us, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray for Brother Dave Powers. Someone please type into the chat room now that we're praying for Brother Dave. And if you guys could just throw in a couple lines of what I'm about to pray for him, because he says that he is deaf. If someone could please type into the chat room about Brother Dave Powers right now. He is asking for prayer for his Social Security benefits to continue. He needs that money. Heavenly Father, please help Brother Dave Powers. Give him what he needs, Lord. And he says he needs his Social Security benefits to continue. That won't happen under Obama, Lord, and it won't happen for a lot of people. So please help Brother Dave and anyone else who needs help with their Social Security benefits. Give them, Lord, your word says, I am young and now I am old, but I have never yet seen the Lord's people begging bread. You take care of your people, Lord, and take care of Brother Dave Powers, too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Donna posted this in the prayer room, and it was words to a song, but I just want to say them because it's just so neat what she posted. Donna said, we bless your name. We bless your name. We give you honor. We give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name. And you know what? We can say that anytime. We can do that absolutely anytime. And thank you, Donna, for posting that. Donna also says, please pray a prayer for my sister-in-law and her family. Her mom passed away this morning. Her death was unexpected. It's hard for them. Please be with Donna's extended family and help them to make sense of what they're going through. And, Lord, a untimely death is, it's rough. But the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Father God. We thank you. And lastly, we pray for Lisa. Her son is in the Army. He's an Army Ranger. And she says this, he's starting the Army Ranger Assessment Program, and he's anxious about it. She won't be able to speak to him for the next 3 to 4 weeks. So please pray for his protection and encouragement through his Army Ranger Assessment. She says it will be very challenging, and she wants to encourage him. And as a mom, she's always concerned about his safety. Lord, we pray for Alec Griffin, Lisa's son, as he goes through this very trying Army Ranger Assessment Program. Keep him safe, Lord. Give him a good testimony. Help him to do the job that you've called him there to do. And give Mama Lisa peace and comfort, Lord, as he is away from her, and help her heart and mind to be focused on you, Lord. And let us just trust you, God. Let us just trust you. And as the old hymn says, 'tis so sweet, so very sweet to trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him all and
Louise just posted, my son and his girlfriend have broken up and he is heartbroken. His schoolwork is beginning to fail. He needs you, Lord. Now, let me ask you guys something. Can you remember what it was like to have your heart broken when you were in high school? Can you remember what it was like to lose, to find that first love and then to lose it? And every breakup that you went through was the end of the world, and you didn't eat and your face got all pimply. And, you know, we kind of look back on that now and we smile. But you know what? It was deadly serious when you were in high school, when I was in high school. It was no joking matter. It only has humor to it when, you know, adults look at it. But there's nothing funny about a broken heart when you're in high school. It absolutely, Katie just says, it seems like the end of the world. Shelley just said, it's so very painful. And it is. It is really painful. So please be with Louise's son and help him, Lord. And only you know what type of relationship that was, God. But if it's something that you can restore, Lord, please restore it. And if you're not going to restore it, then heal the broken hearts, Lord. Your word says in Luke chapter 4, your word says that you came to heal the brokenhearted. And we read this in Luke chapter 4. You said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's Jesus talking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, in verse 18, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And as he goes through his college days, God, please give Louise's son courage and comfort and heal that broken heart. Now, we have about 9 minutes left, and I want to talk about one thing that I promised the person who sent me the email that I would talk about it tonight. And I won't mention who sent me the email because that's, you know, I mean, that's why people send private emails, because they don't want to know, you know, it's just between you and them. But this person wrote to me yesterday, and they said that sometimes that when they do something wrong, when they sin or a bad thought goes through their head, they feel like the Lord is far away. And they feel that they feel alone. And if I could tell you tonight that the Lord, the Bible says, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you even unto the end of the age, even unto the end of the world. No matter what we go through as believers, the Bible said that if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he is with us always. Even when we leave him, he doesn't leave us. And that's why it's so important to know that we have eternal security, that we are eternally sealed once we have believed and once we are saved. Now, you know, we're not talking about a license to sin or any of that nonsense that the people who don't believe in eternal security accuse us of doing. Any sin is wrong. All sin has to be confessed. But while that affects your fellowship with the Lord, it doesn't affect your salvation. It does, because your salvation is not obtained by anything that you did, and it is not kept by anything which you have done or will do. The Bible says not by works of righteousness that we have done, right? But by his great love wherewith he saved us. It's about him, folks. It's not about us. And so many times we begin to doubt our salvation because we're not looking at him, we're looking at us. And that's why I played the song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Once you start looking to yourself, you're going to see nothing but failure. You're going to see 2 steps up and 1,000 steps back. That's what you see when you look at yourself. Remember when Jesus told Peter to jump out of the boat and walk on the water? As long as Peter kept his eyes upon Jesus, he walked on the water. And as soon as he looked down at his feet, he began to sink. And that's our standing before the Lord. We are forever held in his hand. If we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we're forever saved. We're forever sealed unto the day of redemption. That's what the Bible says. But we can lose fellowship through sin. We can lose fellowship through just growing cold or walking away or having pride or arrogance or whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, there's a lot more sin than just fornication and drunkenness and you know, murder and theft. Gossip and slander, maliciousness, that's sin. Pride's a sin. Arrogance is a sin. Being a busybody, that's a sin. And, you know, When we engage in those things, we break our fellowship, but never our salvation. So it's for the person who wrote this email to me yesterday, and I do believe that they are listening right now, you don't ever have to worry about your relationship with Jesus Christ, because if he has saved you, you are forever saved. But you do need to focus on your fellowship with him, and that's why the Apostle Paul says, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. When you go to the gym and you exercise and you lift weights, you are working out, and day by day you're making yourself stronger and you're getting closer to the ideal body type that you want to be. And the Apostle Paul said that he was not as one that beats the air, but he kept under his body so that after having preached, he himself wouldn't become a castaway. And it is so important that we protect our daily fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we protect our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've covered a lot of that in the show tonight. And I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. We had a small group this evening because of the debates, but I am sure that lots of people will be listening in the archives. We had a huge audience for the Sunday night show. Almost 1,200 people so far have listened to the Sunday night show, and that's just amazing. And we had on Dr. Bill Schnobelin. He was the author of Masonry, Deceived by the Light, and Lucifer Dethroned. And he's an expert and a renowned authority on Masonry and getting deliverance from the occult. So if you have an interest in those topics, or you know someone who needs deliverance from the occult, please go into the archives. Please go into the archives and click on that link and listen to that show. And I believe that that will be a blessing to you. So thank you all. And I'm going to keep you in my prayers this week. Please keep me in your prayers. Pray that the Lord give me wisdom and strength and discernment, that he give me Holy Spirit power to continue to preach and to teach his word. Pray that the Lord keep me strong and safe and bless me and bless my family. And I will be praying for you and for your family as well. And I love you guys. I really and truly do. And the vast majority of us may never get to meet until we meet up in heaven at the reunion that we're all going to have. I am just so blessed to be a part of this, and I just thank you so much. So have a good week. Be strong in the Lord. And remember that Jesus is forever our high priest, forever making intercession for us, so that at any waking or sleeping second of the day, we can come to God the Father. on the basis of the fact that Jesus is interceding for us constantly and continually. So thank you, everyone. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time as we have our weekly worship service in the Church of the Firstborn. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week. And I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.